Hello and welcome to The Fast Podcast, a place where we aim to break down stigmas around mental health one conversation at a time. I'm G Atkinson and each episode I'll be joined by a special guest. We'll tell stories, ask questions and speak openly about the experiences we've had. We're the Fast Movement and together we're fighting against suicidal thoughts.
I feel like I always need to do warm-up exercises at the start, because otherwise I just go blah. Oh my god, I remember that. Was that like a... What was the last bit to it?
Oh, the...
I love that. I kind of remember this.
I love how instantly you was like, oh my god.
This is amazing.
No, because I did used to do that in college all the time.
I do remember it. Yeah. Anyway.
Jordan still thinks he thinks I've got a form of Tourette's. Because like I just do the same thing all the time. Just fill a gap with space.
I mean, if every now and then when it's a quiet situation, you start doing that. That's fine. I think we need to start the podcast with that noise. That's amazing. But anyway, so that was our warm-up, which is a great warm-up. Hello and welcome to the Fast Podcast. And today I'm joined by the lovely Zach Hancock, who I've not seen in many years. We met in college, which we worked out before was in 2012, which was 7 years ago, which is quite a long time.
I never used to say, when people said, oh, it makes me feel old, I used to be like, oh, it's not really a thing.
I know, well, see, I feel like every year since I turned 20, I felt young. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like when you turn 18, you're like, oh, I'm well old now. Like, I'm an adult. I can go and, you know, buy alcohol. And then you're just like, oh my God, I'm actually really young.
No, I genuinely feel like I'm actually adulting now.
Really?
I feel like I don't. I used to be like, how is the best way to describe it? You're just a lot more conscious about the decisions you make. Whereas when I was younger, I just wasn't conscious about anything.
I know what you mean. And I definitely agree with that. But I also think we've still got so much of our younger adult life to live, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, as soon as you get to 30, downhill from there. I'm like, are you mad? No, add on another 40 years to that. I hate that kind of mentality that when you're edging on 30, you're old.
Oh, I think I will be a kid for life. I'll definitely be a kid for life.
Yeah, I hope I am as well. Yeah, even when if I ever have kids and they're 18 and they're like, Mom, why are you still doing dolphin noise in the middle of Sainsbury's? But anyways, so yeah, we met in college. We haven't really seen each other in a few years' time, but I always keep up to date with Zach's interesting and exciting life via Instagram stories, always flying off to different places in the world doing some crazy shoots. So I reached out to Zach and asked him if he wanted to come on the Fast Podcast, and I'm very happy that you said yes, because we get to catch up, get to hear about your journey in life so far, and just have a conversation. If you want to introduce yourself and maybe just like tell people who you are in the world and just a little bit about your job.
Yeah, no, I'm just thankful you reached out, because I put things out but you forget that people are viewing them. You just forget about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, when you said come on a podcast, I'm like, oh, that's well, nice thing to do. So yeah, I got the job recently as a head of production at Social Chain. I've been here for 2 years. Social Chain's an agency that's been a ridiculous growth. It started as maybe 3-4 university dropouts, and now it has 4 offices across the world, one in New York, one in Berlin, one in London, and obviously it's HQ here in Manchester.
Yeah.
And I came as a project manager. I did event management at university and worked with like Spotify and got to do some really cool stuff. But then when I came here, I had a bit of a lost moment where I didn't fully know what I was going to do, and I just joined here as project management because it was somewhat related to my course. And then before knowing it, I was project managing lots of videos because a video team was building. And the business director at the time, who's now the MD of New York office, got a client in with MBNA Bank.
Okay.
They sponsored Guardians of the Galaxy Vol. 2. They did like lots of premier sponsors. And they got like loads of video series. And like, Zach, look, can you project manage shooting at the red carpet. You're going to meet Chris Pratt, you're going to meet James Dunn, the director.
Oh my God, I'd be like, yes.
I think that's how I've got to where I've got in life, is just by saying yes.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to do it, and just thinking, I can learn. And then...
That's amazing, that's such a good mindset to have, isn't it? Because even yesterday I was talking to this one girl, and she, for whatever reason, it came to a conversation, and she said that she was speaking to somebody else, and they were talking about, oh, you know, how did you even learn how to do this? And she's like, you just try and you just go for it. She was like, some people just don't have that mindset where they can do anything. They can, if you say yes to something, then go and learn how to do it. I think that's such a good mindset to have.
I think as humans, we have this weird gratification that we can't do it unless someone says you can, i.e. and that comes from school, uni. It's like, oh, you're not going to be an actor until you pass your acting degree, or you go to drama school.
Yeah.
It's not the case at all. Like, you can do anything you want to do if you're willing to learn to do it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like you do think, oh, you have to go through college, pass college. Well, start at the very beginning, school, then do college, then go to uni, then get a degree, and then you'll be able to get a job. And then, you know, you'll work your way up stage by stage, year by year. In 5 years' time, you'll have a promotion, etc. It's kind of drilled into you that is the pathway in life.
That's it. It's massively drilled into you. I'm not saying don't go to uni, because I went to uni and loved it.
Yeah.
I had a time of my life, and it meant I got outside of my little circle of, like, inside Warrington, and it just meant I could see more of the world.
Yeah.
And it opened doors. I met people that I would never have met. If I didn't go to uni, I wouldn't have met Sam, Bud, who basically came to work over here, and that's how I found Social Chain.
Amazing. So you wouldn't be where you were today without it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be where I am today without it. But it's just knowing the fact that just because I didn't study it, I never studied film. I never properly picked up a camera until I was, like, came here.
That's crazy, and now it's your whole job to kind of run it.
Yeah, it's nuts, and I get to direct some crazy stuff. Like I was saying earlier, we shut down a tube station. We worked with, like, huge production agencies to do that. I've gone and met Stormzy. I've directed stuff with Stormzy.
What?
Yeah, I know. That was, like, 2 days before we Nokia calls, and it's like, well, we might be sponsoring Stormzy's music video, Blinded by Your Grace Part 2. We want to do some social content with him. What would you do? So we pitched some ideas across. I just sat down there with Charlotte, wrote ideas out, and then they loved three of them. I was on call, I was just waiting. And the night before, I still wasn't sure if I was going or not. This is like 9 o'clock. So I decided to stay in Birmingham with my girlfriend, just to see if, like, in case I'd get there early.
Yeah.
And then about 11 o'clock at night, they said, yeah, you're on, your call time 6 a.m. I was like, fuck. So went to bed, and then I was up at, like, third fart, and went down to London.
That sounds amazing.
It was crazy. And by the end of the day, I was sat in the chippy with Stormzy. Rogue setup, really rogue setup. But then just kept having a little chat with him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I can imagine then that because you've been somebody to, you know, continuously say yes to things, do things like this, like, obviously that is an exciting thing, and I'm sure that massively excited you, but do you think because you've been somebody to say yes to things, it's almost like, I'm just going to go straight in with this, like, I'm not going to, like, some people would probably be freaked out by that and be like, oh my God, you know, overthink things and be like, can I do it, can I execute it, and get a bit, you know, scared about what they're proposing to somebody. Do you think with your mentality, it's like, right, okay, minute.
Don't get me wrong, I still get scared.
Okay.
I think if you don't get scared, you're not a fool, but you're not doing something right. Or, like, you're not going to care or something. Like, if you fear,
it's good. Your passion's not there.
Your passion's not there. That's what I'm looking for. And the best things in life are on the other side of fear. And when you get that feeling of fear, you just know you're going to get something much better out of this. Because if you're always living in the comfort zone, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I think if you're not feared, you're living in your comfort zone.
Okay, I like that. I very much like that. So what do you think has pushed you in life to put yourself in situations where you feel that fear then? Has that always been something in your life when you were young that you've kind of, like, put yourself in them situations?
I think, truthfully, where it came from was my upbringing wasn't necessarily the best upbringing in the world. Don't get me wrong, I've got both my parents really care for me, love for me, but my mum massively suffered with, like, alcoholism. That put massive pressures onto my dad, and he's got like heart problems. He had heart attacks.
Okay.
And then my dad was basically had his own business, sole trader, gas heating engineering. Mum didn't work. And growing up as a kid, it was very much often dad didn't have enough money to pay the mortgage. I'd be coming home and mum would be drunk. She wouldn't care for us, or she'd be great when she's sober. Such a creative, amazing person when she was sober. But as years went on, that was harder and harder to come by, and you've seen your mum changing. So I think my passion stemmed from not wanting to live that life, and I wanted to fix everything. I think that was a thing for me, I just wanted to fix everything.
Okay.
And I know you mentioned earlier about we went to college and did events and stuff.
Yeah.
And you was like, how does someone come up with events? And for the people that's listening to this that don't know, when I was 15, I hosted my first like start a college party.
It wasn't just like a house party. This is like a full-on renting out a venue, going around college in Warrington Town, selling wristbands for it. This was like pretty impressive stuff at 15, 16-year-old.
Yeah, and you look back. I look back at it, and I think, why? How did I actually get that together? Because I was speaking to like people in Manchester that had big lighting rigs and was like spending thousands. I remember the first time because I hired security. I was like, what type of license do I need a 10 license from the council. I applied for a 10 license. Right, okay, I'm going to need security for every 100 people. Just Googling it. Like, okay, what do I need? Okay, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And I just spoke to them over the phone, as in, like, I was an adult. And then when they came to the first ever one I did, and I was like, hey, is this such buddy? They're like, yeah, you the event manager? I'm like, yeah. But when you go out to speak to someone who's 18, I was like, no, you don't. It's my event. And they ended up calling my dad, having to call my dad, because they wouldn't believe that I was running the event.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and my dad, they said, we'll leave if your dad doesn't stay, so my dad had to stay.
But throughout the party?
Yeah, just like in the reception area, otherwise the security won't work.
Oh my God, but like that's so amazing though. Yeah. Because it was only you and another mate that was doing it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was kind of like running the whole thing. And I mean, I just remember being like, oh, it's Halloween, or oh, it's this, oh, it's that. Like, oh, we're going to go to Zach and Jordan's party. Like, it was, how many did you do in the end?
I think, it's hard to say. I'd say we aim to do one every term, but sometimes we miss the term just because it was too busy, or something was going on, or maybe there was another event. Because we always try to sat down and plan like a few months in advance what's coming up. I remember when the world was going to end or something. There was a big trend on social media that the world was going to end. And I'd been moving through clubs in town and like trying to get bigger venues so we can sell more tickets.
Yeah.
And then it was one where I did Chicago Rock, and I went to go see them, and they had like 1,500 people. I was like, this is big, and he wants me to like work with him. And we called the event Aftermath, and we planned it like 3-4 months in advance because we seen like the trend was building, and everyone was talking about the end of the world. So then we just advertised it like end of world party. Aftermath was the whole thing called, and that sold out.
That's amazing. But just to have that mentality at that age is so inspiring, that you put yourself out. Like, at the end of the day, and it wasn't just like, I bet it was a stressful time as well. Like, because you're spending your money at that time and that age, it's kind of a bit risky, but you just did it, and that's amazing.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It didn't always go right either. There was one which, like bump, like, I don't know what the word is, but it didn't go well.
Flopped.
Yeah, it flopped. Flopped is the word. I think two people turned up.
Oh, no. Right. I hope I was one of them people, because otherwise that was bad on me.
But no, it was just, I think, and that was the lesson of, you know what I said about being comfortable?
Yeah.
I got comfortable.
Okay.
And I was just thinking, because every single one was going so well, it's just going to sell out.
You just thought, this is inevitable that it's going
to
sell out.
Yeah, and it didn't. And then the club owner wasn't happy, he wanted to be paid for it. All the staff that turned up, because he was opened up on a night that usually wasn't there. But, and I had signed a contract that I'd pay $2,000 if people didn't turn up. And I was like, I think I'd just turned 17 at that point.
Oh my God.
And I sat in this club, and it was a dodgy club. Like, the guy was a bit of a dodgy person, as in his business partner had been to jail, type dodgy. And I was getting in the mix in the wrong crowd, but I'm like, right, okay. That's not happening again.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. And that's the thing, never being afraid to, like, I learned more from that failure than I did from the successes. It was, and you always are going to learn more from when you fail. Because when everything's going right, you're not really learning. Of course, you're learning a little bit. But
yeah.
You're not, when you fail, you just learn so much more.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong? And it's good to look back on that.
Definitely. And learning from your mistakes. And I don't think anybody that has created something successful got there from doing everything right. And I think a lot of people, if it does go down the route of maybe not going to plan, that's when they give up. And don't get me wrong, like, I've probably tried to do like many different things in life, whether it's design clothes, which I've looked back on now and were the most awful things I've ever put together in my life. But like, those are like little projects I've done, and I'm like, oh, this has not gone well, like, this hasn't worked, or things like that. Like, I think I tried to set up an Etsy account and sell some earrings on it once, and then I realised that I'd, for whatever reason, I then owed Etsy £100 instead of earning any money, so that shut down. But I think, for me, doing those things, like, obviously, it's a bit disheartening when something that you've put heart and soul into it doesn't go to plan, but like you said, you learn from that, and you're like, okay, well, what went wrong? What went right? Let's work on something else. Yeah. We're using that information.
That's it. And not getting bogged down by it. Cause people can get bogged down by the failures.
Yeah.
People think, oh, I failed and that was so embarrassing. And what?
It's I like, feel like there's a song yeah. that's coming to my head that's like, I get back up or something.
Oh, and I get up again.
That should be the inspirational song for this one. So talking a little bit more about what you're doing now, I know you've spoke about working on different videos with different people, aka Stormzy, which is very exciting. But I'd love to know a little bit more about the people that you work with, because I know you do a lot of work with influencers and bloggers and social media influencers. I think it'd be nice to kind of hear your side of the story about, like, we briefly spoke about it before, about there's kind of a bit of a lot of backlash on social media at the moment of having a negative effect on people's mental health. But I've always said, if you utilise it well, it's like a massive, powerful, beneficial thing for people. But then I do see the bad side of it as well. So I think it'd be nice to talk about, you've worked with people that have got this massive benefit from social media. So
I think it's a tricky one, because if you look about back 4 years ago, people, influencers, it was becoming influencers. That term influencer wasn't even a thing. People didn't know that there was being advertised through influencers, or...
I just had a mini panic that I hadn't pressed thing.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. Geez, just thought she didn't hit record.
You know when your heart, like, falls down lower into your stomach?
Yeah. I mean, that would be a bit of a... Okay, from the top! No. Yeah, 4 years ago, people didn't even know they was being advertised to. People that was growing these audiences were just doing it out of passion. And like, now there's a whole business model around it. There's agencies across the world. There's like, oh, become an influencer, get rich quick schemes. And I think the key thing is, the reason it's got such bad press in media is authenticity. People are faking it. And then like, oh, that pitch that went round about the Listerine commercial, and it was just the Listerine little back. Did you see that at
all? I don't think I saw it.
So there's a girl who, there's like apps where you can get brand deals from, and you just upload your picture and basically say, look, this is a post, I'll put it out to my audience, and it features your product. You might get like £80, £100 for each post.
Right, okay.
And I think it was through one of those type of like apps, and this girl had uploaded the perfect morning picture. And she's sat on a bed, she's got pancakes in front of her, she's like got balloons saying like good morning, and it's like the perfect Instagram pitch. Everything's pink, and you would not guess what it was advertising until you read the very bottom of a caption, and it's Listerine, which is at the far back of a like cupboard. And it blew up on social because it was just fake, and she got death threats, and it was horrible. People shouldn't react in that way for an ad where she's only just trying to make a living. But people are rejecting that authentic, because it's not authentic. People don't wake up that way anymore. People are becoming smart, street smart, and social that's not real.
Yeah.
But then that is what's taking the press, because that's what the press do. They want to take those negative stories, and that's what makes them money, right?
I bet Listerine got quite a few sales that week.
Yeah, Listerine went massively up. If anything, they won out of that. Because it wasn't their fault, it was the influence that was bad. But I get to see the other side of it, and we're working with some influencers that have committed their lives, and this is where the difference is. It's now some people's jobs. Where we go to work 9 to 5 a day, and we commit, maybe we go on Instagram in the evening and just put a post. that person is thinking constantly about what they're doing. They're waking up in the morning, what am I going to film today, what am I going to... That's just their job. And people are making a living out of their passions. That's the people who are really successful in social, and that's the people we get to work with. And it's incredible to see what they do. We worked with Grace Fit recently. She's like over 1 million on Instagram. She's got big YouTube. She's so passionate about your health and fitness and veganism. And we worked with her with Holland and Barrett about veganism. She's just all about spreading that word of good health,
okay,
and how
yeah.
to work out. And you go with Misa, she is constantly on the ball and thinking about it. And I think that's the positive side, that social allows you to have an opinion, have a voice. This podcast right here, you wanted to spread like messaging about good well-being, health, mental health, and now you're doing it. And
it gives you the platform to be yeah. able to do that kind of thing, which I think is nice. Mm. But like you've said before about the girl that's posted that picture, I think that's when it becomes bad, when, you know, potentially the younger generation that have only grown up with social media, like, we're kind of lucky in a sense of, yeah, we've not had it all our lives. Yes, we've had the internet, but like, people used to knock round on my door when I was in primary school and ask if I'm playing out and stuff. And I love that, because that's kind of a lot of my childhood is doing that kind of thing. I think Instagram only came out when we were in college.
It did.
So we yeah. kind of missed the whole, as soon as you get a phone, which is, what, 10 years old in some cases now, it's like, you have to look like this, or this is a perfect morning, for example. Like, oh, this is perfect. This is what some people's lives actually look like. Aim for this. That's where it becomes a bit of a negative thing, because people are like, oh, okay, that must be real.
That's
whereas
it.
I think some people, like, hopefully our generation, and, well, hopefully the young generation too, become a bit more switched on about the fact that that's not real life in some cases.
Well, that's the thing. People only ever post their most perfect version of themselves. And social media has so many good things. I think it's got more good things than it does bad things. But we're living in a world where we don't know what the effects are, because it's not been here long enough. So realistically, people used to prescribe smoking or like chewing tobacco back in the day when they didn't know like the health bad health benefits of it. And we're just living in this world where we don't know, and we will find out what the bad measures. That's not even, was that word? What social media gives you is people connecting all the way around the world that's never been able to connect before. And you can go to now the phones you've got in your pocket. 20 years ago, you wouldn't be able to go travel and like, right, okay, I'm going to go to Australia. Oh, I'm going to go here and here and here and here, as easy as you do now. Because you feel safe, because you're so well connected to your family. You could be in the furthest point away from your mum and dad as possible, yet you can still pick up a phone and speak to them.
That's very true.
FaceTime them. You've never been able to do that before. And like, that's the positive sides of it.
That's very true, you know, because I did a couple of weeks in Bali and Kuala Lumpur on my own, and I didn't feel alone. And that is probably because I was connected with my family, like, at the click of a button on my phone. So I definitely think it's a positive thing. I do think that it's, like you've said before, that girl that's promoting veganism, and that's her life, and but does it in a very positive way, and she's now got a platform where she can have a job doing what she loves and influence a lot of people's lives in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's when it's a good thing. I think that's why it's like nice to hear that you've worked with people that's what they do, that is their job, rather than the kind of everyday, sometimes negative things you hear about it. I think, yeah, I do think there's massive potential. And I think it allows a lot of young creatives, or, well, just any sort of creative person, to work for themselves as well. And, like, you know, I don't know, make money from doing what you love.
You can make money from doing what you love. And you think, it's everything in moderation, isn't it? You drink too much, you're going to become an alcoholic. You have too many coffees, it's not good for you. Like, you end up staying up late at night. And it's everything in moderation. Social media, again, is use it in moderation. Don't become addicted to it. And if you become addicted, you've got a problem. Start being conscious of your screen time. And that's what we're starting to learn. And like, Apple's starting to realise that. That's why they release screen time.
Which I think is a really good thing.
Yeah, and it's just learning not to be an addict in anything in life.
That's very true, because if you spend 6 hours on your phone every day, of course you're going to have a negative impact on you, because don't know. After a week, I was going to try and do the maths then, 6 times 7, but I should have said 5 times 7. That's
42.
Yeah, we'll go with 42.
42 hours, I think. Yeah, 42.
But you could learn another language in 42 hours. So I think it's good that they show you that. Mm. I think at first it shocked me because I'm very much always say, oh, I'm kind of working when I'm on my phone. Like, oh, even if I'm posting photos on my Instagram and stuff, especially when I was working for myself, it was almost like self-promotion. So I was like, oh, it's work if I'm on Instagram. But then I was like, oh, no, but it's not work if I'm looking at memes about cats with red around the head or whatever it is.
That's it. And you can treat Instagram as work because it is work. This agency that I work for now, Social Chain, the whole thing is built around social media. Our media chain pages, some of them post 24 times a day.
No way, okay, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like one every hour, and it's like, and that's just for them, it's split between hygiene content, hero content. So some of them come to memes, but that's their job. And it's different, it's just like working for a newspaper. And it's just a different form of like media. And my job is to understand social and what the formulas are and how we're going to film for social, what's different. 9:16, that's really big now. Everyone's consuming content vertically than like landscapes.
That's interesting. I suppose you kind of almost analyse it a bit more. And it must be quite nice for you to be creating content which is empowering and inspiring, and you know, you're working with brands and you're creating these different like advertising campaigns, or whether it's a music video or whatever it is that you're doing, it's very like positive content that you're creating. Is that quite nice when you sit back and you've finished a project?
When I think I'm going to say I get 40% of the time I get to do really meaningful content, and that's what I love. Sometimes it's more BAU, it's more standard, maybe it's just they've got to sell some jackets. And it's like a bit more straightforward, okay, how are we going to solve this problem? But when I get to work on things that really mean something to someone, I'm like, I love that. Because you just get to sit back and think, this is going to have an impact. Someone's going to watch this. Because we have the ability to push it to millions of people. And it's going to have an impact. And you just think, this, it is like a rewarded feeling.
That's cool. Yeah. I love that. Right, I want to ask you, we briefly started having a conversation about this because I was very intrigued, but I said I'd save it for the podcast. So Zach, basically, a couple of months ago now, or how long ago was it?
I'm going to say about a month.
A month ago.
I think it was a month, yeah.
You basically, well, I'll let you explain, because basically did this amazing thing for charity, which I don't think I could ever do because it freaks me out, and I would just, like I said before, I would probably cry if I was put in a boxing ring. But Zach, do you want to explain a little bit what you did?
So on, was it, I think I had the date locked in my head for ages, like the 21st of March or something like that. What day are we on now?
We are on the 28th of April.
So it would be round about right that. Yeah. I think it was 21st of March. I signed myself up to do a boxing match, and it was in front of like 1,600 people. And I'd never boxed in my life. I'd have 8 weeks to get ready for it. And
so that's when you decided it was 8 weeks before?
So it was, I signed up on the 1st of January. And then I didn't find out until like a month later. But then,
gosh, that's even more intense.
Yeah. So it was like 8 weeks training, go. And the reason I did it was one of my best friends from uni. It's weird because I didn't actually speak to her for the last year that much, because you move on, you get busy, it's just like a message every now and then.
Yeah.
But she was generally one of my best friends, and she unfortunately died from cancer.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm really sorry to hear that.
It's all right, it's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Life happens. I just remember getting a call from one of my other good friends from uni, and I was just like, that day, I just remember calling, I got a call from Hannah, I'm like, oh hey, no way, I was thinking I was going to arrange a meetup or something, and it was that news. And that has still stayed with me for so long. It still does. But before that new year, there's been, I'd say it'd be about 3 months. It was just getting into my mind a lot. I'd be going to sleep and she'd just come up quite randomly. It'd been like 2 years since. And my mum had been going through cancer. And at that time in my life, I think I was starting to suffer with a lot more negative energy. I started feeling like a little bit more angry with the world, and I wasn't quite where I wanted to be in my career. And I could feel myself not being the happy person that I usually am. So I was like, I just need to do something. I need to set a goal. I need to get out of the house, otherwise I'm just going to be coming home and thinking about it every single night. So that's what I found it. I was like searching for things to do, like challenges to do. And then there was that boxing, there was advertisement like, look, we're going to do a boxing match on this date, and it's all the name for cancer research. And everything just linked. In that one moment, just linked. I was like, right, I'm doing
it. That's your pathway.
That's my pathway. If you look at me, I'm not like a boxer, right? But I was like, I'm going to train, I'm going to do this. And when it was quite scary when they signed up. It was like, right, okay, you're going to come to this bowls exhibition centre. It was like a big concrete warehouse, people. And boxing brings a lot of fighters, like, as it does, and you get there and there's a lot of people that just wanted to like fight, like chubby steadheads.
I just want to punch someone.
Just want to punch someone. I just remember walking in, had like friends, I had like, a little posse come with me because I filmed the whole thing. I just walked in this room, I was like, Jesus, this is real. And then it was 8 weeks of intense training, and then that was that.
So did they provide the training for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they provided all the training for you, like free, because that's what you're doing for the charity. And the training was, when I say the training was intense, it's like, I was, every single session I was almost like sick. Like, they push you to the point of almost being sick. And I remember when I was doing sprints outside, one of the coaches like thinks I'm quite fast, I'm a fast person. And he was easily seen, like, right, Zach can go further and push harder. He got a big lorry tyre, like a huge lorry tyre. It went, right, wrap that around your waist. Go to like 100 metres and back, and if you either go home or you come back in the gym once it's done. Like, that was the type of training that it was.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I've never pushed my body like that before. And the experience on the night, so many of my friends and family came, because it was something you don't usually do, and then like Zach's getting in the boxing ring. I just remember being backstage, you just hear all this chanting, it's over 1,000 people wanted to like see blood. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know? And I'm just there thinking, I'm Zach. I'm just a creative guy. I don't usually do this type of thing. But no, like, you probably get it. I just remember putting my hood up, because I had like a little boxing hood. I put my mouth guard in. There was like loads of people around you, just like checking you're good and tapping you. And
gosh, it was like a proper boxing match, yeah, environment.
When you're walking down the stairs and in the background, you people everywhere just testing your glove weight, like. So always, there was always someone doing something to you backstage. But I just remember just shutting my eyes and waiting for my song to come on. And when my song came on...
What was your song? It was
Kanye West. I forgot the actual... I'm mixed between two. It's Kanye West and... Is it LMFAO Shots?
Which one's that? What does it...
Shots. Everybody.
Oh, I feel like that's definitely one to get you pumped,
yeah,
though, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I forgot the name of the Kanye West song, but it was like a proper, like beefy get up go, and then because I used to DJ deny back in the day, so I mixed it and it jumped.
Nice.
It was like, ah, and then it just cut into something like, what does everybody want? And then there was like the Shots thing came on, and I was just like, I actually won an award for the best entrance.
Oh no, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Because I went down the alleyway, and just before they turned the music off, I went back the other way just to like soap it up. It was amazing. And the VIP area had to like, the announcement guy had to come on and say, like, please can everyone sit down, with this match will not compete until everyone's sat down, because the crowd was like getting that phone. So.
Oh my gosh. So but that definitely created a buzz just before then.
Yeah.
What was it like actually fighting? Did they kind of train you to how to get in the right zone mentally before?
Truthfully,
you
not, they don't. It's like, that's all up to you.
Okay.
They tell you like the more you spar, the better you're gonna adapt to it. But no, like I said, there were so many people, and you're very aware of it backstage. I cannot describe the second you step into that ring. My corner were very good. There was like stop thinking. Look at him. Like, and they were just making you focus on him. There was like stop, don't not. Lost my words there. But don't stop staring at him. And all of a sudden, everything, the whole environment.
Focus on.
Focus.
Him.
You can't see past that ring. There was so many people around you, and you just don't see any further than him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The only thing I could hear, because I've watched the videos back and you hear the crowd, I'm like, oh my god, there's so much shouting. But the only thing I ever heard was people like saying Zach, because that was the only thing I could ever hear. Or like, if there was a moment where I was getting knocked down, it was like, get back up. That's all you hear is those little moments of like motivation. Apart from that, just me and him.
Gosh, that's scary. So was it scary when you were fighting, or were you just very much in the zone of like, I'm here to do this now?
Very much in the zone. I think the only bit... The night before I said about the best things in life on the other side of it.
Yeah.
that was like a moment like that. I remember being so feared before I stepped up on that stage. And then once I did it, I was like, such a good feeling. It was just like, I've now achieved something I never expected to achieve in life.
Definitely.
And I lost by 2 points. I was gutted because it was the third round. I was winning. Like, he dropped his guard. I was going in. But I kind of, it's the way you breathe. I know it's the way you breathe because I've lasted much longer than that sparring. But because you go in hell for leather, I cannot describe how fucked you are in that third round.
What, physically?
Physically.
Just no energy left.
That's what got me, because I dropped my guard and he just got me in like the jaw, which is like a good knockout point. And I stayed stood up. But that's what got me. In the last like 30 seconds. But
that's just an amazing achievement that you did that, and you pushed yourself out of your comfort zone. I think that's. And like you said, I bet that was a very rewarding feeling after it was over.
You know, it was so rewarding, like, all the people that came to watch me. Like, people you wouldn't expect. Because the tickets were expensive. It was all for charity and everything like that. I'd raised 1,400.
That's amazing.
And all my friends who donated also bought a ticket. And those tickets helped put on the whole event.
Right, okay.
So it's not like that money was then going to charity. That was just put on everything. And covers the cost of training and absolutely everything. And I think it was about 35 quid a ticket or something, and 40 people came to watch me.
That's amazing.
And they all stuck around, and I was obviously a bit like dead after the fight, and they'd all like bought pictures for me and seeing like just to have something for them. That was a really rewarding bit.
That's really lovely.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice thing when there are kind of, you know, events that could, like, you know, it's almost like a negative situation has shone a positive light on it, and just shows you how many people actually do care and have love for you, and like, you want to inspire one another. I think that's really lovely that like so many people turned up and were there to support you.
Oh, it's incredible. I'd only recommend it to someone though that wants to push themselves, because in the end of the day you are still having a fight.
Yeah.
And even the guy I fought afterwards, we caught up, we like got like a drink of water each because we couldn't face any kind of alcohol. And like, that was really nice, in the fact that you're having a fight with someone yet you still have so much respect for them. So,
but because you were saying before that everybody that was fighting was there for everybody was fighting was raising money for
cancer research.
It was amazing that, you know, how many people were there that were doing it.
So this is the crazy thing. It was two rings. All right, so there was 88 fighters, which meant there was 44 fights. So they split the 44 fights across two rings. That was fight 16. But yeah, it was.
That's so many. I thought you were going to say it was like six people or something like that. Gosh, so how much did they raise in total for the night? Do you know?
I did know this. I think it was either 25 or 30 grand.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Is that something that they do annually or what?
So there's a company called Ultra White Collar Boxing, and their aim was to raise 20 million for cancer research. They've done that now, but they do them all across the UK.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And you just know you're going to be safer doing it because it's legitimate. Like, I'd have to have a medical before I went on, a medical after I went on. I threw up afterwards because of the adrenaline.
Did you?
Yeah. I was absolutely fine.
At least you didn't do it over.
Oh, I know.
The guy.
Well, most of it, the other guy, he like basically passed out after. Like, he passed out. I'm like, you could have done that in the ring. I'm like, literally 30 seconds ago.
You're just looking at him like, you arsehole, why didn't you pass out before?
But I remember being sat there, like, absolutely fine. Like, my legs were, like, dead. I can't describe. You think of boxing match, it's all going to be your body, your arms, going to be tired. It was your legs.
Really?
Your legs were so dead.
I wonder why that is. Because you're constantly
moving, you're on your feet, and maybe it's adrenaline, I don't know. But then all of a sudden it's got this like, overwhelming feeling of like sickness. I was like, to the medic, I was like, I'm going to be sick. He went, is this the first time you've done it? I'm like, yeah, have you ever fought before? Like, no. He went, this is your adrenaline, you'll be fine, your levels are fine. I literally took 3 steps and threw up on the floor. And I was like, oh, I'm not good. He went, just go to the toilet, get it out. And I was like, oh, it was not good. I was in the toilet for like 20 minutes, just dying.
How bizarre is that then? Yeah. That must just be adrenaline slash your energy was just, you put everything into it. That's crazy.
But then after that moment, then I felt great again. Because like, when I came down and seen the family and friends, like, that's when you feel good.
That's when you're like, I bloody did it.
Yeah.
And you briefly mentioned before that you, before you signed up, you kind of were in a bit of a negative headspace before, you know, this thing came to you. And I think sometimes when, like, for that example, that was a sign for you to do that. Do you, I sometimes see, like, oh, you know, this is a bit of a sign, or that's a bit of a sign. But did you often get negative every now and then, and then you do something that brings you back to that positive person? Or because you are a very positive person, like, well, my opinion of you anyway. So what I'm almost trying to say is, how do you keep yourself positive?
I think every single person in the world, if you say you're always 100% positive, you're lying. We're human. Every single person gets down.
Yeah.
And it's just how you put yourself up about that. I think, like, it's going back to, like I said, about my childhood earlier, it was either do something about it or just stay down and turn like my mum. Like, that's what I have in my head.
Hmm.
Go and be like my mum or do something about it. So for me, when I get into that headspace, I don't get me wrong, sometimes I can be like, it's hard to get out of the headspace because you're down. But then I just try and think what gives me passion in life, what makes me happy. Set a goal, I just work towards it. It's like, set your alarm for 7 a.m. Like, even though you might not want to get up, you might feel so shit. Some days you're more passionate than others. Some days you just wake up and you're like, right, okay, I'm going to do this. Some days you don't, and it's those days that's most important to get up and just do something. It doesn't matter if your list of things is 20 and on that day you only get one of them done, you're at least one step closer. And I think that, for me, is how I stay positive. It's like, I might not want to get out today. I might want to stay in bed and just watch TV, put Netflix on. I mean, it's great. Who doesn't like a Netflix day? But it's just doing that one thing. And for me at the minute, it's I found my passion for making videos, photography, and, like, creating visual stuff. And I've been working round the clock because at night time, I'm doing music videos, working with artists. And that's because even though Soul Chain is incredible at what they do, I wanted to do something that was just for people, for something for me, that wasn't with a client. And, like, that's half killed me in terms of sleep time, probably sleeping like 4 hours a night, which I don't recommend. But it's just because it's something that's passionate for, and that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And it's like, right, okay, I am going to achieve this. This year I am going to have shot some music videos, and I've done two now. And, like,
that's something. So you've kind of given yourself, you kind of give yourself goals, and you're like, I'm going to achieve this. And then you almost, like, break that down, like, okay, how am I going to achieve that?
Yeah.
And you strive towards that.
Yeah. Every single day, I write a list of notes of, like, to-dos. I'll read it out. This was yesterday's. I only got one of them done, right? But I got one done. And that's because I was feeling pretty, like, that was, like I said, a down day. But it was call mum, send invoice, reply to a text, message Hannah, message Bronte, write up options for producer, finish process presentation, 3:30 call with Facebook. It's like, that's what I'm going to achieve today.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're incredible goals or they're going to change my life goals. But if I didn't make that list, I wouldn't have done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, that's what I do every single day.
No, 100%. I definitely do a similar thing, but I feel like my... Every single time I write my to-do list, it says sort room out. But no, I definitely like writing lists. And I think what you just said before really struck me as, like, a interesting thing, that the days where you feel down are the most important ones to push yourself, because it's so true. You do wake up one day and you feel a certain way. You feel, wake up the next day and you might feel bit negative and a bit down, and they're the days where if you don't do anything or you stay in that mindset throughout the whole day, then the next day you kind of wake up and you feel the same. It's harder to switch out of it. But that's really interesting that those days you've got to push yourself even more and be like, right, no,
yeah,
I'm gonna be do something good today.
Well, it's like, as well, your brain's like a muscle, it's like an organ, isn't it? And when you train to do something, it's like you go to the gym, you can lift, maybe, I don't know, maybe you can bench 20k, and the next day you go back, you can do 22k, and then it's 30k, then it's 40k. You're training that muscle to be able to do more.
Yeah.
Your brain's the same. And on those days where you're having, like, a really bad day, and if you can only do 2k more, but then the next day you come to have that day, you know how you've done it before in the past, you're probably going to be able to do 4K more now. Does that make sense? And then you just
definitely
train in it. So when it comes to those, oh, how do you stay so positive, or how do you do so much? It's because you train in your brain. Then that's how I see it.
Yeah, and you're almost training yourself to, when you do have them negative thoughts, it's like, right, okay, so how do I get myself out of this? Yeah. Rather than being like, right, I'm negative, so I've just got to let this ride out.
Yeah. And the best solution to anything on one of those days is maybe a Nando's. I always, if I'm like having a bad day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to Deliveroo and treat myself. And this is going to come, I don't know, I've spent 20 quid, so I need to get out and do something.
Love that. See, I'm jealous because we don't even have flipping Deliveroo where I am, so good. Bring Deliveroo to Warrington, please.
I do not know what I would do without Deliveroo. Oh, Deliveroo and Spotify and YouTube are like my three go-tos. Yeah.
See, I definitely think for me it's music as well. Like, if I will literally put my, I'm massively into like my African tribal dance beat thing, yeah, kind of genre. So I'm just like, if I'm feeling a bit down, I'm like, put some music on and put these drums in my ears or whatever it is, and then I feel a little bit more positive.
You are right, though, because I do that sometimes. If I'm just in bed on that day, maybe it's Saturdays, for me, are the worst days, because you've just done a whole working week. For me, I work Monday to Friday. Some people might be a bit different, but for me, it's Saturdays. You're tired, but I still want to be productive on a Saturday. So I won't necessarily set an alarm, but I'll wake up around about 9:10. But I still won't want to get out of bed. But what I do, like you said, music, I'll just put my Spotify on, go to like my playlist, and like motivate, like songs that like I like, songs that like motivate me the most. I just hit play, even if it's from my phone, it's on the pillow. It does make such a difference. That would sound stupid, but I'll eventually get legs
10 minutes
side.
Later, you're there, like, what, yeah, the hell, walking around the room.
It's weird, though, the effect that music has on your body.
I know, it is bizarre, isn't it? But it's like, even for me, if I'm writing something, because it's not, I'm like not gifted in writing, I never have been, I kind of struggle with writing stuff down, you know, academically writing things. So I have to listen to, I've got a playlist called Tranquil, and it's just full of like classical opera style music, and I have to listen to that because I'm like, I can't sit in silence and try and focus on something that I'm not good at. Like, I don't know, that environment doesn't work well for me. So yeah, that definitely works for me.
I say I'm a tropical house kind of guy. It's like a progressive beat that just feels happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. You should never listen to like sad music if you're sad.
I know.
People do. I know. Like, what are you doing? It's just going to make you sad.
I know. It makes you want to cry. And if you're feeling like that anyway, of course you're going to sit there feeling like you're going to cry.
Yeah.
Right, Zach, I'm going to ask you one more question. And I've asked everybody at the end of the podcast this question, but I feel like we've already kind of spoke a little bit about what keeps you motivated and what keeps you positive. But it's, what's your mantra? Like, what's the one thing that you live by every day, or you tell yourself often? Like, what's the one thing that you tell yourself?
Oh, that is a good question. You know what? Like, if you asked me this question a couple of years ago, I used to have like so many different quotes. I'd be like, this is who I am. But like now, that's all kind of changed, and I'd say I'm a goal setter. Because at the minute, my goal is to have a Ford Mustang by 25. And I know it sounds stupid.
I know that that's a car, but I don't. Yeah. Is it a car?
Yeah, it's a really nice sports car. And
honestly, I'm so unknowledgeable about cars, but I did know that Mustang.
Yeah, Ford Mustang is a car. And I think because I know that's an expensive car, and the insurance on it's like $5,000. I've checked it.
A month?
No, for the year.
Oh, I was going to say.
And that's like a ridiculous price. Like, why would you spend that much money? Which is because in life I really want to have that. And I know you shouldn't focus on material things, because happiness doesn't come from materialistic things. But setting that goal allows me to experience so much more in life. Because like, if I want that Ford Mustang, what do I need to do to get it? And that is what gets me up and go. So once I've got that, I'll just then set a new goal, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
So I think I'm a goal setter, and that's what gets me up in the morning every single day, and that's what I live by. And you don't just have one goal, have multiple. It's like, I want to be a better director. I want to create more more neon movies. I want to create stories. I know one day I want to make a film, like an actual film, which then goes out and makes people feel something. One day I want to have a write a book. I want to do an autobiography. One day I want to maybe write a film about myself, what's been my life journey. And it's like, I know I've got all these things I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I get there? So right now, my goals for me are working with upcoming artists, because they're letting me shoot music videos for them. And I'm learning, and like they're learning. And it's like a collaborative process. And then once I've mastered them, then I'll take the next step. And maybe those artists that I've already worked with are taking their next steps in their career as well. So I'd say goals, setting goals is 100% the mantra. So if you don't have anything to work towards, what's the point in getting up in the morning?
And I love the fact that, like, you, I know you said that, okay, that it's fair enough if it's a materialistic thing, the Mustang, but that is a sense of achievement. Like, when you get that, you know, whenever that may be, that's like, I just love the fact that it's like a big goal, but you work backwards rather than just being like, I'll do little random little things and then some it'll turn into this thing. It's like, right, no, this is the big goal. I'm working backwards of how I'm going to achieve that. I think that's like a really nice thing to have in your head, because then, like I said, like if you have these days where you're feeling a bit like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed or anything, you're like, no, this is my bigger goal. I've got a bigger goal to look forward to.
That's it. And it's quite bad, but I've got pictures and like favourites of the car, different versions. I'm like, if I'm having a bad day, I was like, look at it, I think, do you want it, Zach? Like, do you actually want this?
Get out of bed then.
Yeah, what are you going to do? And that's what gets you moving forward. And every single person might be different. Their goal might be something like, I want to go and travel the world. Cool.
What do you need to do to get there?
Yeah, what do you need to do to get there? Do you just need flight tickets? And then do you just need to get better at like winging it and speaking to people and living for free?
All about winging it, by the way.
Yeah, all about winging it. Everything I've done in my life has been winging it.
Yeah.
Jordan, my best friend, he says, I'm the luckiest guy I know. I'm the luckiest guy he knows. But then he also backs it up with like, but a lot of it does come from just passion. And I don't really believe in luck. It's just, if you keep pushing yourself to, like I said, those moments of fear, you'll learn that you can just figure it out and work it out on the spot.
And going back to what you said before about the fact that you've said yes to like everything that's come your way, you say yes to it.
Yeah.
I think that's in a sense, you've bought your own. It's not necessarily luck that you've bought to you, but you've put yourself in situations that's going to give you rewards.
Yeah.
So it's like that's nice.
And that's it. The more situations you put yourself in, the bigger the reward's going to be, and it will just keep growing. I'd never say no to anything unless it's like bad. Can you go kill someone for me, Zach? No, that's bad thing to do. So, but yeah.
It's like that film, The Yes Man, when it kind of all goes wrong for a little bit, but
I've never watched it.
It's with, I was going to say Jimmy Carr, but definitely not Jimmy Carr. I'm not even going to say his name because I should know his name, but it's literally gone blank from my head. But, it's been absolutely lovely to talk to you. I feel like it's just so nice to sit down and have a conversation, just chat about life and our journey so far.
No, thanks so much for having me on. I don't think it's very often you get to sit back and reflect on your life, and especially when someone comes to you and says, like, I want to talk to you about it. It's really nice.
I hope that people have listened to this and been inspired, because I knew the second that you said you were up for doing it, I just knew that it would be quite an inspirational conversation, because I've seen, you know, what you've been up to at the moment, things like that, and it's, you do come across as somebody that's, like, you know, push yourself to do these things and has a positive outlook on life, and it's lovely. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.